that?
Tui and applesauce. Three words for that. Ooh, blah, and blah. When I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. Oh, it's gangbusters.
Damn a shake in FL. In FL and Dave. Damn a shake.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, available as always on iTunes and at NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck, Sheck, Sheck.
The fake cheers remind me to give a sincere thanks to the fan out there who takes the time to download the Dave Damashek football program. As we reach 5 million downloads, in just a little bit here, we're going to be talking with Hall of Fame, Pittsburgh Steelers cornerback, arguably the best to ever play the position, Rod Woodson. And also, it will be our Red Challenge Flag segment. We do it each week. Our heroes, Elliot Harrison and Handsome Hank, go head-to-head, picking all the games. So a good slate of games coming up on Week 12 for you. We'll hear who they think are going to. They're coming off, by the way, Black Tie. I don't know if you realize. They went 5-0 with their mutual picks. They agreed on five of them, and all five of those were correct. So that'll be interesting to see how that goes. Meantime, though, what a treat we have coming up for you right now to ring in this auspicious episode of the show. He is nothing less than the reigning king of Seattle. He has his Seahawks in the number one spot right now as we await the start of the NFC playoffs. Big one coming up with the Saints when they come off of their bye. He comes to us from Xbox, from Microsoft's Xbox One. It's Russell Wilson, everybody. How are you, Russell?
I can't complain. I'm down here in L.A. and talking about Xbox One and talking about the Seattle Seahawks and how Xbox One is changing the game.
Well, tell me about that. Why don't you?
Well, I mean, basically Xbox One and the NFL, they've teamed up. And what it's doing is it allows you to do whatever you want. It's an all-in-one package, basically. So, you know, if I want to be playing Madden right now and I'm watching the game on the big screen, and I can do that all at once. Or if I want to be playing Madden and have, you know, my fantasy football team and the fantasy football league up, you know, I can look at the live points and the updates right then and there. And then obviously too, you can also personalize your Xbox One with, you know, for me, obviously I personalize the Seattle Seahawks. So, you know, instantaneously I get live updates about games and about highlights and about Percy Harvin returning kickoff return or whatever it is. And so, you know, it's exciting. And then also, the other added benefits too, as well, for me, you know, Skype is really important because I can Skype with my niece who's a year and a half, who lives in Chicago. So I can talk to her on the big screen TV and so there's so many different things that you can do. You can obviously watch live TV. So that way the ladies don't get mad too when you're, you know, in the man cave all day. They can watch their live TV, and we can still get our updates on fantasy football, so it all works out in the end.
Well, it sounds good, because I only have football consuming about 21 hours of my life. This sounds like I can go the full 24 now with this.
Full 24.
Perfect.
Plus a little bit more.
All right, well, listen, that must be a fun break for you. What's your favorite subject to discuss? Is it your height, or is it the Hail Mary against the Packers last year?
Neither of them, but both work.
Okay, so you're on the bye right now. This gives you plenty of time now to break down the tape and get ready for what I'm calling the biggest game remaining in the NFC. The New Orleans Saints are coming to visit you up in Seattle next Monday night. Are you rooting for rain? Is that a big deal to say, like, ah, oh, that team from the Dome, if it rains on us, we're really in good shape?
No, I can't wait to play the game, man. Just to have another opportunity to play the game of football is what you love. Obviously, it's a big game. Obviously, it's the New Orleans Saints, and they're doing extremely well. We're doing extremely well. Drew Brees, the quarterback for them, who I have tons and tons of respect for, was able to play with him in the Pro Bowl, and you know, he's just a great human being and a great football player, obviously. But at the same time, you know, it's a home and away team, and luckily we're the home team with the 12th man fans, and we're looking forward to playing, you know, that big game. It'll be a great atmosphere. A great football game. It'll be a very, very physical football game, and so hopefully we win. It'll be exciting. Our goal is to go 1-0 every single week, and and it's a championship opportunity for us. We're looking forward to it.
Well, as far as that goes, I've been saying for the last 6 weeks or so, I feel like home field advantage has never been more significant than it is in 2013 in the NFC because of how good the 12th man is. I've been in that stadium. It is not jive how loud it gets there. Are you guys talking about, boy, if we can just get this number one seed, fellas, we're in great shape if everybody has to come through here?
Well, I think the thing for us is, that's really important. But we have to win our division first. We have to continue to play championship football, play consistent football, and that's all we're looking at. It'd be amazing if we could play at home every playoff game if it comes to that. But at the same time, like we always tell each other, 100 yards is 100 yards. Doesn't matter where it is and when we play it, we'll be ready to go. We'll strap up our cleats and be ready to play. And so we're looking forward to it. We want to be able to play at home, obviously. That would be a great experience for us. It's like an earthquake in that stadium, CenturyLink. Mm-hmm. It really is. The ground literally shakes, and you can feel it. You can feel the energy in that stadium. So the 12th man is real.
Yeah, I buy it. Week one, you were across the country in Carolina. You barely escaped there. A lot of people said, what's going on with the Seahawks? They barely beat the Panthers. Did you guys in the locker room after that game say to each other, I think the Panthers ain't jive this season?
Oh, yeah. We knew they weren't going to be that. I mean, we knew they were going to be a very talented football team. They have a very, very good coaching staff. They do a lot of great things. They're very physical. Their front seven is one of the best front sevens in the National Football League. Cam Newton's playing really well right now, so you respect him and how he plays the game and how elusive he is, how strong his arm is. He can make a lot of throws. I have a lot of respect for Steve Smith and what he can do in the passing game. He's an explosive receiver. So they have a lot of great football players, and so you can't sleep on the Carolina Panthers. You know, it's one of those things that they have a great football team. That's why our game was so close with them. Early in the season, it was a battle.
Well, I think football fans wouldn't mind seeing a rematch in the NFC title game. But I know we have a long way to go before that. In the meantime, let's discuss this. It occurred to me you were 16 at NC State and at Wisconsin. Why the number three? Let me just hip you to something. Babe Ruth owns number three in baseball. Allen Iverson owns it in hoops. But in the NFL, that number, you can go down in history as the greatest three ever. Have you considered that?
I never thought about that. I'm just trying to be the best today. Don't worry about the days to come. I think that I was number 16 in college. I was Joe Montana and that type of number. Mm-hmm. It was one of those things. And so when I went to when I got drafted by the Seattle Seahawks, John Schneider and Paul Allen and Coach Carroll, they offered me number 16. And but one of the other receivers had it at the time. Chris Durham was actually a receiver for the Detroit Lions now. I didn't want to come in as a rookie and take somebody else's number, so I just asked them what other numbers they had, and number three is actually my favorite number. And so my faith is really strong, too. So John 3:16, it added up perfectly, so that's what I picked it.
Perfect, and it's kind of bizarro, Joe Montana. He went 3-16 from college to the pros. You did the opposite. Very neat.
Yeah,
hey, I don't know if you've heard, but people like to compare you to the other young quarterbacks in the league. That's a subject that fans like discussing a little bit, is Andrew Luck, RG3, you, Cam, Kaepernick, and the rest. Let's see if we can figure this out real quick. Who would win in a foot race of those guys? And you know what? Let's open it up. All the starting quarterbacks in the NFL, who would win a foot race?
Oh, man, Michael Vick's still pretty fast. I don't know who they went.
All right, who'd come in last?
Who'd come in last? I have no idea.
The correct answer is probably Peyton Manning, I have to tell you. He's very good.
Yeah,
but I don't know.
He's got sore ankles right now.
All right, among Cap, Luck, RG3, Cam, and you, who throws the sexiest deep ball?
Who throws the sexiest deep ball? Well, your producer said I throw the sexiest deep ball.
Yes, he did. Oh, he says it all the time.
Yeah, so that's kind of interesting how he says it all the time. That's kind of weird, but
it is creepy.
But that works. I guess I'll say me, hopefully.
Nice, nice. Who's the most handsome?
Who's the most handsome? I don't know. You have to answer that or somebody else. I can't answer that one.
You're up there. It's either I'm going to go you or Cam on that one. I'm not sure.
Me or Cam Newton. Okay.
Yeah.
That works.
Yeah. Who would be the most fun to go on a long road trip with?
On a long road trip? What type of road trip are we talking about?
I don't know. Let's say we're going to see a Big Ten showdown. Wisconsin is playing Michigan, and we're getting in the car and driving up to Madison from California somewhere.
Well, if we're going to Wisconsin, it had to be me then, I guess.
Oh, that, you're fun? Are you the sort of guy like, no, I got the drive through, Bill. Hand it over here. I got it.
Yeah, you gotta love the trip to Wisconsin, man. The Badgers are where it's at.
Yeah, what kind of music are we listening to?
Probably R&B, some oldies, okay. Mostly. Maybe a little bit of gospel here and there, too. So that all works for me.
Cool. Hey, Pete Carroll seems like a lot of fun to be around. But are you ever like, all right, enough already, man. Settle down. You're more excited than we players are. Because you don't see that very often among the coaches.
No, we love it. Coach Carroll. And he's so consistent. That's what makes him such a great coach. And same with the rest of the coaching staff. You know, Coach Bevel's my offensive coordinator. He's very consistent. My quarterback coach, Coach Smith, is very consistent, too, in their approach. Very relaxed, very poised, very energetic. We love that positive synergy, and it makes you want to play at a high level, for your team and for your coaching staff and for your fans. And so that competitive nature is real. We love it. We love it to death. We love Coach Carroll and what he brings to the table.
Last couple things for you, and Marshawn Lynch likes Skittles. This is something that when you guys are playing, they like to the cameras like to catch him eating his Skittles. Where do you rank Skittles in candy rankings all time? What's your favorite candy, Russell Wilson?
Man, hungry, why wait? I'd probably say Snickers bar and then Skittles second.
Skittles number two. So you and Marshawn Lynch aren't too far apart. Does he ever give you some?
Matter of fact, I stole some Skittles, a big bag of Skittles out of his locker. I sent him a picture of it the other day, but I stole a big bag of Skittles out of his locker the other day. So he's kind of upset at me right now.
Well, wait a second. You want to keep him happy. He's a big part of the offense.
Yeah, he can deal. He'll be all right.
All right. Well, listen, here's how you make it up to him. Thanksgiving's coming. What's the best pie you could give him?
The best pie? I'm eating more turkey and mac and cheese on Thanksgiving than pie. But, you know, pumpkin pie always works. A little pecan pie, that works too, I guess. I'm a big cheesecake fan.
Oh, you know what? It's settled. You and I are going on a road trip. We'll just stop at all the pie places. You just named my three favorite pie flavors right there. We're in good shape.
There we go.
And last thing is, I'm curious about is, do you guys, I can tell by that you are very sort of focused week to week, but have you looked back at all, you or anyone in the locker room, and said, man, that week five in Indy, we could be undefeated right now, and this would be a completely different story for the Seahawks in 2013, because like you mentioned, Percy Harvin coming back, those offensive linemen and so on. Do you look back and think, man, we could be unblemished right now?
No, we don't have time to look back. It's time to look to our next opportunity. That's the way we always do. The story hasn't been told yet. You know, we're 10-1. We're not in the playoffs yet. We haven't won the NFC West yet. We haven't won the NFC. We haven't won the Super Bowl yet. So our story hasn't been told, and we're waiting for that story to be told. We're excited about that, and we just want to keep working.
All right, well, listen, Russell Wilson, I understand you're about to jump onto a helicopter and fly down the California coast. I really appreciate the time, man, and continued success to you.
Thank you guys so much. Go Hawks, and make sure you get your Xbox One. See you soon.
All right, and I'll pick you up for that Michigan-Wisconsin game next fall. We'll figure out the schedule for it.
Sounds good. Go
All
on.
Right, man. There he goes. Number three, Russell Wilson.
Dave. Dave.
Ah, nice fella, nice fella. Black tie, how do you feel? That's pretty good stuff.
I feel like you called me out, but, you know, I'm going to ride for the sexy deep ball. It's a thing. I can't let it down now.
He had to cut it off because he's calling the authorities. He wants a restraining order against you ASAP. He doesn't seem as flattered by the what you intend to
he
be
will,
a compliment.
He will appreciate it once his career is over.
What did he say about you? You're weird?
No, he just said he thinks it's a little bit weird that I like.
Well, then, yeah, he said it's weird.
I'm a fan of the aerial display. I can't help it.
I did like the way we went through all the quarterbacks of his little class and the class before. I think we figured it all out. All right, listen. Coming up in just a little bit here, Black Tie assures me we have Rod Woodson coming in here. That's going to be grand. We'll do our second go-round of Hall or Nothing. It's a segment where I ask Rod Woodson, who already has a gold jacket, about the candidacy of some other players who are still in the league or maybe just retired. Last time he said Jerome Bettis doesn't belong, and he's gotten a lot of heat over that. We'll check in with him about that and maybe the Roethlisberger story and some other candidates, maybe even the ones who work here. Meantime, let's say hello to the guy who writes the power rankings on NFL.com. He gives you his weekly picks, and he appears on this show every week, of course, for the Red Challenge Flag segment. It's Elliot Harrison. What's the poop, fella?
What's up, man? How's it going?
Well, I'm doing well. Just kibitz with Russell Wilson, who was, you know, as promised, delightful.
I'm excited about the Hall of Fame. You know, they just cut down to the 25 semifinalists. We're having a special Wednesday night, tonight, on depending on when you're listening to this podcast, obviously, on the network. But some really, really good names, and there's some super, super tough calls.
All right, cool. We'll see what Rod Woodson thinks about a couple of those names. Also, all the way from across the Atlantic Ocean, he grew up in England, but his heart has always belonged to the National Football League. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. He's Handsome Hank from England, handsome from England. His name is Handsome Hank. He's handsome, Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. And congratulations on 5 million downloads. I never, ever thought you'd get there.
Thank you. All right, listen. Here's what we did.
Did he really make 5 million?
Apparently, yeah.
That's fantastic.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is.
Here's something
His name's on the product.
I agree.
Up until
except when it's DDFP, then people don't really know. They just...
How about, you know, as Thanksgiving fast approaches, before we jump into the red challenge flag segment, before the holiday gets here, I'm going to try and get an answer for this. How come, do you guys like Jell-O?
Yeah, it's fine.
You're
it's
a Jell-O?
Okay.
I mean, it's more a
it's
kid
fine,
treat.
It's, but
black tie behind the glass, you like Jell-O?
As a kid.
Yeah,
it's
I like the red. I mean, cherry, but I never understood.
Lime.
The
first
one.
They make lime.
Is
like disgusting.
I like the lime. The green one?
Really?
Yeah.
The green
one. What's
wrong
with you?
I don't like that. What's weird is who decided that at Thanksgiving you put little marshmallows in there? Who came up with that, and why is that a holiday treat?
I don't think you do that.
What do you mean you don't?
I don't think
you do
that. I think just go with an extra deviled egg.
What? Hmm. Yeah. I'm still – because, you know, I've been here. This will be my third Thanksgiving in your great country. I still haven't really – I mean, like the turkey I get, but I still haven't really got my head around. There's like a hornucopia or something like that, and there's
hornucopia.
There's marshmallows everywhere. I mean, why all that food? Like, so you're talking about that specifically.
We were celebrating getting away from the likes of you.
I get that. I welcome your celebration, and I love the fact you sprinkle some football in there. What I'm asking is, all the stuff that lands on the table that day, why would
it
you
was
put,
like,
why those things?
Because
hey, what do you got? I've got a pumpkin pie. Great, put it on the table.
No, that's
not why.
What have
you got? A hornucopia. Great.
You know what they throw on the table? Everything that isn't hot tea and fish and chips.
Well, that's
those are the only things. Because those are the only things people can eat over in your part of the world.
Good point.
And stuffed intestines. Tough beast intestines.
You're making my mouth water.
What is the Thanksgiving must, though? Is it stuffing?
Turkey.
Is it cranberry? Besides turkey, though. I'm talking about the side.
Stuffing is the,
potato salad,
thing.
Or is that Texas?
Well, stuffing is a significant side dish for sure. That's another.
I actually like stale bread.
Let me. The
Neil's
other one
back.
Is. Let me tell you something. I feel, you just reminded me of that. I'm glad that you brought this up. Why is the marshmallows in Jell-O is weird? Because I mean, adults don't generally eat Jell-O. Period. But then then they put the marshmallows in. One. But the thing that bothers me is Thanksgiving. Stuffing is delicious. Why is it not a year-round side dish?
That's a question that has been on my mind for a long time.
Is that
time.
Right? I know I asked it a few years ago and never got a satisfactory answer.
There's no reason. And, in fact, for a while when I was in college, I would eat stuff. You know,
me
you
too.
Can get it for like 99 cents in a bag. You put it in, pour some water on top. I would just eat stuffing.
I'm calling for it here and now. Stuffing year-round. Hey, restaurant, you want my business? Serve stuffing as a side dish.
We could open a restaurant, stuff yourself.
But don't we have to have something other than the stuffing?
Can we have eggnog as a drink on that menu, too? I'm a fan of eggnog. I don't know
what
why it's
if
only
it was
here.
On just so that it just would serve Thanksgiving dinner year-round.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing I'm
talking about. Go there. You get turkey.
Stuff yourself.
I like this.
Let's do it.
There's something interesting. All right, listen. Let's get to the Red Challenge Flag segment.
Red Challenge Flag.
And this is how we do it. It's pretty straightforward. Handsome or Elliott tells me who he thinks is going to win one of the tougher games out there. The other person has a chance to throw the red challenge flag and question the that pick and go against it. Last week, I think I should mention, these two guys, they're too agreeable. I'd like them to disagree on every single pick, but they refused to do it. Last week, they were in lockstep on five games. They went 5-0 together. So if you do hear an agreement between these two, it's a pretty good indication that the team they've picked is going to win.
That's about right.
All right. Well, there you go.
Let's
start with, I think, is it the oldest rivalry in the NFL? Or it's one of the oldest ones. Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cleveland Browns. Both 4-6. The Browns still in playoff contention, as is any 4-6 team. And believe it or not, so are the Steelers. Again, this is not based on the quality of either team. It's based on the overall mediocrity in the conference right now. Either way, it is a classic. Ben Roethlisberger, 15-1 against the Browns in his career. Elliot Harrison, who's going to win this thing?
I like the road team on this. Jason Campbell did not play well last week for the Cleveland Browns. And look, after a while, people are going to catch up to Chris Obanaya and Willis McGahee carrying the load in your rushing attack. I like Pittsburgh on the road. They smell the wild card.
Handsome, how
say I think you? I could catch Willis McGahee at this stage of his career. But actually, I'm going to have to toss a red challenge flag out.
Look out.
I love it.
I'm picking the Cleveland Browns to win this one. They keep playing teams tough. And you saw the first half of their game against the Bengals. They jumped out to a lead. I think they're going to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in Cleveland this week. You know, that's one game that the Browns, even if, and I tend to agree that while they are mathematically in the playoff hunt, this is not a team that's going to the playoffs. I think that this is the game they're getting up for.
It's very interesting. The Browns, if nothing else, have a superior defense to Pittsburgh's this year. Of course, the great equalizer, the thing that the Browns probably don't have an answer to, once again, is Ben Roethlisberger. I say he's the difference in the game. I think the Steelers by a whisker, but that Browns defense is mighty. Next game, an AFC West showdown. Intriguing. Another 4-6 team here. San Diego, Elliott Harrison. I don't know if he still has them in the playoffs, but they're on the road going to KC off their loss to Denver, of course. Handsome Hank, I start with you here.
I have picked the Kansas City Chiefs to win this game.
All right. Elliot, how say you?
Yeah, you know, in honor of Chiefs red, I'm going to keep that red flag in my pocket. I'm not sticking with the Chargers, man. I'm not at Arrowhead. I like San Diego to beat Kansas City in San Diego. I don't like them to win at Arrowhead.
I'm with you on picking the Chiefs, but I mainly do it because the Chargers feel like they've at least recently regressed a bit. They were looking very good, Phil Rivers and so on. But the Chiefs they're in a weird spot here, obviously. They're the classic hammock game in between these two Broncos showdowns here, and they're coming off a tough one, and now looking forward, can we still get the number one seed in the conference and all that kind of stuff? And now all of a sudden you have a good team rolling in here. Not a great Chargers team, but a good team. It's intriguing what's going to go down there.
Their season would be totally different, the Chargers, if they had pulled out the Redskins and Dolphins games. They keep losing these close games. And you know, it's
and you leave out the week one game against the Texans.
You know, you could be looking at a 7-3 team here. I like the way the Chargers match up with the Chiefs. By the way, is anyone tired of hearing about how great Alex Smith has been for Kansas City? He's been strictly average. All he does is he doesn't turn the ball over, and he runs well.
Wait a second. Hold on. So that and this is a 9-1 team.
Yes. It's a 9-1 team.
And you understand that when you have but their defense is dominant, it's like we've talked about many times, the notion of complementary, the three spot. I mean, the three teams complementing one another. They're going to take the air out of the ball if the defense is dominating. There's not a compulsion to slap a bunch of touchdowns on the board.
Certainly. So if a quarterback had been that kind of player at one time, and he was asked to rein it in because of that, that's one thing. But Alex Smith has never, ever, ever proven to be a productive guy that could throw for 300 every game. He's never shown the ability to do that.
The 49ers team wasn't so different to this one. Great defense, offense that had some weapons, but a stronger running game. I think this is the perfect. I'm not saying that if you suddenly stuck him on the Jags are going to be six wins better. But you know, you find a quarterback for your position, and he fits the puzzle there
right.
pretty well.
And what's more, I know Jamal Charles is a nice pass catcher, but their number one guy is Dwayne Bowe, who's good, not
he's
great.
Awful.
Yeah, he's two dimensional.
I think I tweeted this, and I got a little bit of hate mail from Kansas City this weekend. I don't know of a player in the NFL puts in less effort on a consistent basis than Dwayne Bowe. There'll be catchable balls that he just cannot
I don't
be
know.
Bothered
that,
to
that
go
game
get.
Against Pittsburgh a couple of years ago where he jumped up in the air with his arms by his right. side was pretty stellar. You remember
well,
that one?
I do. Yeah. And so Dwayne Bowe, and he's, again, he's not an elite, you know, top 10 wide receiver, and he's their really their one and only good pass catcher.
Yeah, their other guy's Donnie Avery.
I mean, yeah, it's not good what he has, what Alex Smith has to throw to. All right, so that's that with the Chiefs. Next up, an interesting one, but an ugly visual matchup from a uniform perspective. Too much turquoise and shades therein. Carolina Panthers traveling to Miami. Dolphins coming off of a victory. EH, how say you?
Oh. Boy, this game is tough. I'm taking Carolina in this. I don't like the fact that it's a road game. I thought the Dolphins were impressive last week. I just don't trust that Tannehill has the pocket presence to get anything done against that Carolina defense. I just don't think it's going to take Carolina more than about 20 points to win this game, and I think Carolina can get those 20 points.
Handsome?
Yeah, I'm going to have to keep it in my pants on this one, Dave. I think
please
you know,
do.
I will.
Make that
I think,
a general
you know,
rule.
The Dolphins' offensive line played almost its best game of the season, despite the fact they're pretty much down to the second string across the board there last week when they played San Diego. But this is a very different challenge playing again. You know, that San Diego defensive front is pretty well beaten up. So they were playing a few second strings there. You know, against this Panthers defense, I think they're going to have a hard time protecting Tannehill.
All right, this one is the Ed Reed / Rex Ryan Bowl. You have Rex, formerly of the Ravens, and Ed Reed, formerly of the Ravens, playing in Baltimore against the Ravens. Handsome, who you got in this one?
I have picked the Baltimore Ravens to win this game. I think that the Jets aren't very good.
All of a sudden, I'll tell you, a bandwagon has never cleared out as quickly as the one for Geno Smith.
I can tell you I was not at any point planning on getting on
Boy,
that bandwagon.
Boy, people were so excited about Geno Smith, and he stinks it up, and all of a sudden people have declared the Jets are doomed. They can't win games with that
guy. You know
what?
I am excited about Geno Smith because if you think about it from a Dolphins fan perspective, the Jets have got to stick with him for at least one, maybe two more years. They've got to try and make this work, and it's not going to work.
I'm going to keep mine in my pants on this, too. I think Baltimore wins that game at home. But, you know, Joe Flacco's been no great shakes either. He's 26th in the league in completion percentage.
Dreadful. I mean, again, he's another guy who doesn't, outside of Torrey Smith, have a lot to throw to. All right, we have the Colts and Cardinals, Cowboys and Giants, Broncos, Patriots. Which should we go with? We got to do the big game. We'd be remiss to
You're
skip
right.
Broncos,
Colts, Cardinals is definitely...
Well, you know what? That's a game I'm interested in. But
we don't have time to talk to it, according to our
producer.
Because Rod Woodson's coming up here. So, EH, I'll start with you. Broncos, Patriots. How say you?
Broncos, Patriots. I like Denver on the road. You know, New England's had a lot of injuries defensively. I think they'll keep it close. I do. But they're going to have a hard time running on Denver. And New England's been leaning on the run a lot more than you think.
I got news for you. If the Dolphins win and the Patriots lose, the division is hereby back on. You know, they really...
True that.
The Dolphins would have a shot at the division going up against the Patriots still one more time head-to-head. Let's do it. Let's real quick. Cowboys, Giants.
Wait, I don't
handsome.
Get to weigh in on,
oh, I'm sorry.
On the other
That's
one.
Why I'm trying to do pace.
All right,
Black Tie's throwing his
I
arms around
I know he's throwing his arms
there.
Up, but ignore
quickly.
Him. We'll put the curtain down.
like he's a limo driver.
Exactly.
All right, just do your pick, quick.
Broncos.
Okay.
I'm still flush with success from picking the Panthers to beat the Patriots on Monday night.
Kudos.
I'm not going to go
you
against.
You did. You said them, but you said Panthers by five.
By
they
five,
won by
they
four.
Won by four.
On kudos. That note, any chance that Black Tie knows who Argyle is?
I don't know.
You said the limo
Argyle
driver.
Is.
Come on,
who's
man.
Argyle? From,
Argyle.
From Die Hard?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I know.
How do you, of all people... The,
I got
the guy
it right!
You,
so you, I mean, you can't say, how do I, of all people? I just told you who it was. It came out of the blue. I wasn't sure who it was there. All right, so that's that. We'll figure it out. Elliot, are the Cowboys going to win on the road?
No.
You don't think they're going to beat the Giants? Giants are going to have five straight?
Yep.
Yikes. All right. Here he is, as promised, straight from Canton, Ohio. The Hall of Fame... It's Steelers all-world cornerback supreme, Rod Woodson. What's the poop with you, fella?
What's the poop?
Yeah.
I'm just hanging out.
It's a pleasure to see you once again.
It's good to be back here.
Courageous.
Handsome, but handsome Hank, is that like, who gave you that nickname?
I did.
He did.
Don't you think he's handsome?
Okay. Well, I don't judge guys like that, but okay, I believe you.
Who do you think is the most handsome guy in the Hall of Fame?
I it's 200-something guys. I don't even know who everybody's in there. I got to see them all first.
I'll tell you who, if we're going on their playing days looks. I'm not talking about 2013, but I'll tell you the best, Frank Gifford.
Frank?
He was handsome when he played.
He was a handsome guy?
You know, I'll tell you who
else.
I
trust you.
Marcus Allen was handsome.
Don't tell Marcus.
He still is handsome, in fact.
Oh, don't tell Marcus.
Curtis Martin.
He has a big head already.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, listen, I hear you got some heat. The last time you were in here, maybe a fortnight ago, we debuted our segment, Hall or Nothing. This is where I ask a gold jacket like yourself about the candidacy of current players or guys who are just freshly, or not even eligible yet, but guys who are recently retired, and we go through them. You got a fair amount of heat back in Pittsburgh, PA, because you said that you think Terrell Davis belongs in ahead of Jerome Bettis, at least, and perhaps insinuated that maybe Jerome doesn't deserve the gold jacket.
Well, you know, when you look at, I believe TD goes in, he should be looked at kind of with the same concept of Gale Sayers. That kind of like that Gale Sayers rule where mm-hmm. he got injured. We knew that he was going to be an awesome player for the next how many years. If he wouldn't have been injured, I mean, this guy was a Super Bowl MVP, league MVP, 2,000-yard rusher. I mean, guy was doing it. That fluke play, and he gets injured, and he really doesn't really come back from it. That's why I think. That's why I think TD belongs in. He should be able to get in because of that alone. When I look at Jerome, and I like Jerome, and I don't even know if Jerome, I haven't seen Jerome since we talked
about
this
guy. I saw him in Tahoe a couple months ago. He was a delight.
I haven't seen him personally, so I don't know if he's going to give me a lip full when he does see me. But, you know, I mean, you know, he had that great year in St. Louis.
Uh-huh.
I think it was like 1,500 yards, something like that.
93.
Even have been in L.A. That's how long ago
it was. And then he had a pretty good year in Pittsburgh. It was like 1,300 or something of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of them were about, you know, a little over 1,000, a little 1,100, 900 here and there, sporadic throughout his career. You know, it's a tough one. I mean, I look at TD, and when I looked at him when he was at his best, he was the best running back in the National Football
League. Well, like Elliot Harrison said the last time we had this conversation, I thought it was a keen point he made that at the time, look at the running backs that were in the NFL, and Terrell Davis was still the best, and this was at a time when you had Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders and so on, and for a few years, like you say, TD was the best of them all. So that's the measure. He's number one in the game among titans at the running back position. Yes?
I didn't. I was looking at you. I was looking at you to be the quarterback here for a second. You know, I agree with you on Terrell Davis and Jerome Bettis. One of the guys I wanted to ask you on, I'm actually working on a piece for the Hall of Fame right now on the guys that make it and don't. One of those guys that's been on the cusp is someone that you played with, Kevin Green. For some reason, he's been overlooked. 160 sacks. And the thing about it with Green, Rod, is what made you great is that in your 30s, you were still able to play. Kevin Green had 97.5 sacks in his 30s. It's amazing to me that nobody considers him a Hall of Famer.
I do. And I think, I can't remember what year it was. I was talking about the Hall of Fame, and I overlooked Kevin Green. And that was my mistake. It was a couple years ago. I mean, I don't know where he ranks in the all-time list at this point in sacks, but got to remember when he got the sacks. They weren't even throwing the football that much. It was like 50-50, maybe.
You know,
60 run, 40 pass. He was still getting to the quarterback. That's how good he was. You know, I remember my first time seeing Kevin Green. He was in our weight room in Pittsburgh at the 03 River Stadium. We had this like – our weight room was probably as big as this room. That's how small it was. But I see this huge back and this big old – and this long white hair. And I'm thinking, that's a big old lineman. Who's that guy? We must have got somebody. And I walk in. I'm getting ready to lift. And I turn around and it's freaking Kevin Green. I mean, I've never seen a back so wide in my life. And he's a big guy. And then I remember playing against him when I was with the AFC at my first Pro Bowl. And I'm the gunner, not the gunner, I'm the wing guy on the punt team for the Pro Bowl. And he's lined up right over me because they got, like, punt safe. And we punt it, and he grabs me. I couldn't move. he was like, where are you going, boy? I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm trying to, you know, like a little kid, like, kicking with his feet in the air and just slapping the hands. I couldn't get him off of me. But, you know, I absolutely agree with you. I think Kevin Green belongs in the Hall of Fame. I overlooked that a couple years ago. That was my mistake. You know, the way he played, with tenacity he played, and the volume of getting to the quarterback opposing teams, I think it was great. And you got to remember, the era that he did it in wasn't that they're throwing the ball 70% of the time like they are today. It was flipped. They were throwing the ball maybe 40% of the time, and he was still getting sacks like that.
He came in the league in 85, and to answer his question, Dave, Kevin Green's third all-time in sacks. The guys ahead of him, Bruce Smith and Reggie White.
Well, how can he not be in the Hall of Fame already? Well, this, by the way, Handsome, as a newcomer to playing our game of Hall or Nothing, all you have to do is come up with a name relevant to NFL history, throw it at Rod Woodson, and then he'll decide. He might intercept it like he so often did.
Probably will.
How about this? Let's do this one. As
third
one of the great
of all time, that's great.
One of the great kick returners ever, and you also, well, you were, and then maybe the best to ever do it. Does Devin Hester belong in the Hall of Fame?
That's a great question. If Devin Hester goes in, then Steve Tasker needs to go in.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell needs to go in. There's a lot of guys that need to start going in. If you put a special teamer in, now you got punters going in, you got kickers going in.
What about that? Guy.
You have to change. You have to change your philosophy. If you put one guy in, I think what's so hard for those guys is because they only get like 10 plays in a game or 5 plays or 4 plays in a game. You know, same thing with the kickers. I think when people see them, and you know, we always tease kickers and punters. I do it all the time on the air. Mm-hmm. I don't talk kickers and punter because they're not real football players. I say it all the time. But I tell you what, you want your guy to be a real good kicker when it comes down to, mm-hmm. you know, crunch time, and it's 3 seconds on the clock, and it's a 45 yards out, and the wind is blowing left to right, 10 miles an hour. You want that guy to kick it through. You know, I think it's tough. That's a tough one. That's one I think the fans have to readjust their mindset on the National Football League landscape and how they look at players. Do I think every single one of those special teamers will be in a Hall of Famers? No. But I think a couple of those guys deserve to be in the Hall of Fame.
All right, no more jive, Woodson. What's the vote? Ray Guy, yes or no? You have a vote.
I think Ray Guy is arguably the best punter, and he put punters on the map in the National Football League. When people do that type of stuff, kind of like, and I'm not putting him in the category of this, but like Mel Blunt changed the game for corners. I mean, mm-hmm. the guy was so big, so physical. You know, when people start seeing him play, they said, man, we got to change the rules because this big guy's knocking our receivers all the way down the field. So I think when people bring a certain position to light, like I think Ray Guy did at the punting position, I think that's when you put those certain players in or look at them to be in.
I don't want to interrupt Hall or Nothing. If we can do a couple more names, we will. But I'd be remiss, Rod, because time is short with you. Because obviously you're pretty linked in with the black and gold. All this noise about Roethlisberger wanting out of there, I don't know if you have a direct link into that and can talk about it. But either way, to me it occurs, as a guy who grew up in Pittsburgh, still talks with some of the local media guys back there, it seems to me that the Steelers, because they announced, well, we're not true, that never happened, then a lot of people have been like, see, what, no story here. But, of course, the Steelers also announced 2 years ago that Bruce Arians retired. And I think the people of Arizona and Cardinals fans might disagree about his retirement status right now. So I don't know that they can be taken at their word for saying that. Well, how say you on the whole story?
Well, you know, when you look at last year, I think, you know, you got to know where Ben is coming from. If anything's a riff at all in Pittsburgh, Ben really liked Bruce. Mm-hmm. They had a pretty good accord. They had a good relationship. Bruce did a lot of things that Ben liked. And I called this last game, the Detroit Lions and the Pittsburgh Steelers. I called that game. And the one thing I started really realizing what's going on now, because they're playing better football on offense. Mm-hmm. You know, defense, you know, is still susceptible to the big play. But the offensively, they're no huddle. You know, Ben is at the line of scrimmage. This is stuff that Ben likes to do. Mm-hmm. So I think Todd has kind of said, okay, I'm going to kind of let my ego go. Let's talk about this. What do you like? And we're starting to see some of the stuff that he did with Bruce again. And we're seeing some big plays. We're seeing the offense move the ball down the field. So I think everybody's been frustrated in Pittsburgh, including Ben. I don't think Ben made that statement. I don't remember hearing Ben say, I want it to be traded. He didn't tweet it. His people didn't tweet it. And it never came from his camp. So where it came from, I don't think anybody really knows where that genesis is. At the end of the day, everybody was frustrated. I think now, though, when you watch Todd and Ben on the sidelines, because you got to watch the sidelines sometimes. Last year, they didn't even talk. This year, they're laughing with each other. They're smiling on the sideline. They're talking. You know, Todd is kind of slapping him, and they're saying certain things. They're chuckling together. That's what you want to see between your quarterback and your offensive coordinator. So I think the progression on the offensive side is better this year than it was last.
What do you think about – all right, let's now return this now back to Hall or Nothing. Ben Roethlisberger.
Is he in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
Oh, he has to keep playing.
No, he doesn't. He could retire tomorrow, Rod Woodson, and make the
Mike
Hall of
Tomlin.
Fame.
Keep putting it on tape.
Fine. He's done more than enough. He's played in 3 Super Bowls. He won 2 of them. He's in the Hall of Fame. It is not a question. People can talk about that all their way.
Rod just cursed him because that's what he said about Willie Parker. That's what Tomlin said about Willie Parker. Keep putting it on tape. You don't want him to go the way of Willie Parker.
There's another quarterback that won 2 Super Bowls.
I know who it is.
That's not in the Hall of Fame.
Jim Plunkett. Yes. That's the only one.
Right.
He's the only one.
Right. Exactly.
But Roethlisberger didn't have 3 years of nothingness Plunkett did earlier.
So how many Super Bowls has Ben won?
He won 2, played in 3.
Right. But the first one, let's be honest.
Don't you do this to me, Woodson.
One, they won in spite of Ben. Ben didn't best pass in the game.
Antoine Randall
to Hines Ward. That was the best pass of the whole game.
But you know what, Woodson? Shame the devil. I can't believe I have to tell you this. They wouldn't have gotten to that
like
Super
Myron
Bowl.
Coat.
Let me tell you. Be still my heart. That's the greatest compliment I'll ever receive, to say I sound like Cope. Now listen, they don't get to the Super Bowl without the performance he put on first in Indy and then in Denver.
That tackle
in
he made. That when Jerome fumbled.
That was just a punctuation mark behind the great game. And the game he had in Mile High was his greatest playoff game ever. He was dynamite. He was, I mean, 3rd and long consistently drilling passes in Denver.
The AFC Championship game.
His best game he's ever played. Or his best playoff game, at least.
You know, Rod, my job is to make sure that Dave doesn't get too Steeler-centric. So I wanted to circle back to something you said about... Because I thought it was a really interesting way to look at it. Did the guy bring something out to light? And when you brought up Ray Guy, Dave, I think that's what we're talking about with Ray Guy. Well, with Steve Tasker, I think he did. And by that definition, Steve Tasker is an absolute Hall of Famer. When they played their first Super Bowl against Dallas and they got hammered, it was still a close game early in the game. The Cowboys' personal protector, the guy that lines up behind the line for the punter, Dixon Edwards, got hurt. And the Cowboys panicked. Because they knew, oh, great, we got to put in a backup there, and we're playing against Tasker. What do you think happened? Tasker blocks the first punt. First play they put in, and that's the kind of talent that he had. So even if you're only on the field 15 plays a game, you make that kind of difference. I think you're a Hall of Fame player.
And I think that's why when people do talk about special teamers, his name is the first name that comes up.
Which tells you something right there, doesn't it?
So he's been that guy. They did go to 4 straight Super Bowls. He was a special player at that position. I think, and I said that about setting a mark for a certain position, you got to look at it, is that worthy of being in the Hall of Fame?
Right.
That's the question for all these voters. Because I don't get the vote, which I don't even like. I don't like the system, but that's a different story. That's another program. It's another podcast.
I hear you. And I think like Devin Hester to me is more of a Hall of Famer in the sense that I understand it's based on what his responsibilities were, but Devin Hester would change games.
How many games
and still changes the
to
outcome
effect.
Of games. But Steve Tasker is capable, but he doesn't swing games
so
as
this,
much.
Let's say this about Devin Hester. So Devin Hester was returning kicks, outstanding kick returner, right? In an era where there's no blue-collar workers anymore, you got your starters. When I came in the league, all your fifth-year, sixth-year guys were on special teams. Hmm. Your starters were on special teams. Nowadays, your backups are rookies. You got these a lot of offensive players on special teams who can't tackle. So the special team play has kind of gone down. All these guys can't be good returners. All these guys are returning balls. I mean, look what Austin did in St. Louis a couple weeks ago. He catches the ball off the drop. And he's like on a 2-yard line, and he takes it. He wiggles his way down for a touchdown. I'm like, oh, my goodness. I mean, to me, I think we have to be careful with special teamers in today's era.
Hmm.
Because I think the blue-collar workers, I think some of the game, 32 teams, I think the game itself is kind of diluted. I think the talent level is diluted because there's so many teams. And you can't have your best players on the rosters anymore. You know, you got to put them under a salary cap. The salary cap hasn't increased. I know we're going in a lot of different directions.
No, I get what you're saying.
I just think you got to be really careful when it comes to, and I'm talking about Devin Hester, because I think Steve was on both sides of it. He wasn't a really returner. He was just a heck of a player making big plays for you. And he made big catches in some big key games for the Buffalo Bills.
Hey, by the way, the guy who brought you in here, thanks to him, @Marcus_Smith. Did I get it right there, Marcus? That's my small my small thanks.
Absolutely not. It's Marcus, @Marcus_Smith_. @Marcus_Smith_.
What? What kind of Twitter thing is that? @Marcus_Smith_? There's just an empty underscore at the end of your thing? That's weird.
Marcus is one of our producer talents here, or talent producers here. He's,
and he produced the great Rod Woodson
he
today.
Did.
All right,
he did.
You go in just a minute here, Rod, but I got to say one more because they work here at NFL Network, and I'm interested in your opinion. Darren Sharper, Hall of Famer.
Ooh, wow.
Now you're going to see him in the hallway.
No, I'm not going to see Darren.
Let's say you
Darren,
have to.
Darren couldn't take me if he wanted me.
Wow.
60 career interceptions, 9 touchdowns. That alone says to me, just raw numbers, that's hard to argue against.
Yeah, Dick LeBeau had 62. It took him forever.
That's true.
To get in. And he played in the air. And he played in the air where they threw the ball probably 2 times.
3 times a year.
And he had the record for most consecutive starts by a corner without missing a game, too.
Dick,
started 14 right. straight years without missing a game.
You know, I look at the secondary play, and I look at Darren, and this is my question, not to Darren, but to every player who will be up for the Hall of Fame when they retire, is that when you played, were you the best at your position at any given time over course of years when you played? That, to me, is what Hall of Famers are about. I'm not saying Darren is not. I'm just saying that should be one of the criteria. Were you the best? The, not 5 or 6 of them. Were you the guy for a certain period of time at your position? You know, and you know, when it comes to Darren, I think Darren made a lot of big plays. He was a ball hawk. I'm glad he kind of quit playing so he didn't break my record.
All right, you go. But what about Kurt Warner, too?
I think Kurt's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Even though...
Would he get your vote?
Even
if
though...
If you had a vote.
Yeah. I would vote for Kurt. Hmm. He played 13 or 14 years, but that window of his really great years, like 5, those 5 were freaking awesome. Mm-hmm. I mean, a guy could throw that rock.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the story to go along with it, I know you don't put somebody in Hall of Fame because of the story.
Oh, I disagree with that, as a matter of fact. And
well,
this isn't a story.
A Hall of Fame of good stories.
No. But I will say, I think that individual moments can define the career enough that it puts you into the Hall of Fame. And, you know, back to Pittsburgh for a second, Lynn Swann statistically has no business, but because he rose up for a couple of iconic plays in the sport's biggest game, he's in the Hall of Fame. Oh, and I embrace it. I think he belongs in the Hall of Fame for doing it.
Yeah,
there.
I think my story, I'm talking about his life story, how
he got
there.
Sorry.
You know, working in a grocery store, doing all that stuff. I think in that story, that's great. And that's a fighting through the adversity, overcoming it all, overcoming the obstacles. Wasn't any type of guy coming into this thing. Everybody's like, Kurt Warner, who was that guy? Mm-hmm. You know, he had to go play in arena football, and he came out of that thing, which was a blessing to him because it taught him to throw the ball on time, which he couldn't
true, right?
do when he first came in the league. So it really was a blessing for him. You know, I think when you look at Kurt, and I played against his offense – in St. Louis when I was in Baltimore, and they could throw the football. quarterback that who could throw the football.
Yeah, about as well. I mean, even in the ensuing dozen or so years that we still haven't seen, or have we seen an offense that would transplant that? That, for like you say, this, transformative, this Ray Guy and everything. Well, that's right.
This Denver one,
you watch
pretty
that,
good.
You look back at that St. Louis year. Boy, at least until they got to the Tampa game in the NFC title game, they just, that offense was unstoppable.
Yeah, but
they
smoked
everybody.
They did it 3 years in a row. Right. And it remains, the 07 Patriots weren't able to do that, and it remains to be seen whether or not the Broncos are going to be able to do that 3 years in a row.
Yeah, 07 Patriots, they don't let Tom have receivers 3 years in a row.
Yeah.
they get him for a year, and they take him away.
All right, Rod Woodson. Again, we could go on for 5 or 6 hours about this and just only stay on Steelers who are worthy of the Hall of Fame.
Brian Hinkle.
Well, hey, listen, Brian Hinkle was not bad.
Keith
Willis. Brian Hinkle was plenty good.
No.
Mike Merriweather, L.C. Greenwood.
Hardy Nickerson is the most underrated.
Hardy, L.C. Only reason L.C.'s not in the Hall of Fame is because they had everybody else
they
in
can't,
it.
They can't. Yeah. That's exactly right. At some point, it gets like, saturated, and they say, we can't just make this.
And that's their mindset
that's
behind
right.
it. That's crazy, though. That's
you're
unfair
exactly
to
right.
L.C.
You're absolutely
right. That's unfair to L.C.
And next time we talk, we'll do Casey Hampton, too, because I think he quietly was the linchpin to those great defenses for a better part of a decade. All right, listen, you go, Rod Woodson. We'll kibitz later. That's all. We'll save some. There's still meat left on this bone for us to cover the next
I
time.
I'm going to call him Myron Cope Jr. I'm going to start calling him Jr.
Yoy and double yoy. The Pittsburgh Steelers are poised to strike.
Now you need to smoke a cigarette with it, though,
because
that's what Myron would do.
I'm drinking whiskey, as you can see right now. I got pretty much everything covered. All right, and I'm not the most attractive man. So, yeah, I'm in many ways, I'm like Cope. All right, listen, Rod Woodson, it's always a pleasure
all
to
right,
see
guys,
you. Thanks for jumping
it.
In. Hope you don't get any more heat in Pittsburgh.
I can take the heat. I like Kitchens.
I like what he said about Sharper. Sharper couldn't take me if he tried.
He looks fit.
Let's start having
fights.
He's
been doing the Nordic track or something. I don't know. You've been doing the Chuck Norris workout.
Thanks, Rod. There he goes. The great Rod Woodson. He's delightful. You know what I like? I like when people are delightful, but they also tell the truth. That's what I like in the guest when they come through here at the DDFP.
Well, then you must have loved having Rob Woodson here.
That was great fun. Darren Sharper, he doesn't know. What do you think?
I would like to see the showdown between him and Sharper, maybe in the huddle. Carrying trays of food.
Yeah, the commissary.
Yeah.
I heard what you said. I like the idea of Darren Sharper hearing a room or Jerome mm-hmm. Bettis. I hear what you said on the Damashek show.
You know what the truth would be, though, if he Rod would say, where do you hear it? And he said, oh, Damashek told me.
I'm causing trouble between Hall
stirring
of Fame.
Up, stirring
NFL
up
legends.
Between NFL legends.
I caused them to take a swing at each other. All right, listen. Handsome Hank. Elliot Harrison, what a pleasure. Thanks to Rod Woodson. Thanks to Russell Wilson. Thanks to Adam Rank, who couldn't be here. But, of course, all those downloads don't happen without him. And, of course, the man behind the glass, Black Tie. Shout out to Mark Brady and all the other guys who helped make us go with this podcast. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce after Week 12, and we'll get you ready for Week 13. In the meantime, though, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.